Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
Before we get into our message, and you'll notice that I'm going to start talking about this, and I'm going to start talking about giving a little bit more. There's so much about giving that's actually in the scriptures as well. I don't know if my clicker is working, but if we can go to the next slide. So a lot of people would be like, they starting to talk about giving in the church. Put your hand on your hip. They must need something. Nope. Nope. There is a blessing in giving. Now, let me say this. When I say there's a blessing in giving, we don't give to get. This English is not going to be good when I say this. We don't give to get. We give because we got. Does that make sense? Y'all understand what I'm saying, right? We don't give to get, right? The scripture lets us know, right? Jesus says, if you give, it will be given back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, will men give into your bosom. Praise God. There's a principle in giving that you will reap what you sow, all of that, right? You put a seed in the ground during harvest time, it will come back. But we don't give like, oh, Lord, you know, I heard this phrase before. If you have a need, sow a seed. We don't want to get caught up in that. You know why? Because all of a sudden, imagine this is like a genie thing, right? Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. And the more that I give, the more that I expect to come out of this little genie box. God is not a genie. He is our Father. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. Listen, and it is His heart desire to bless us abundantly regardless. But He does ask us to give so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can spread and so that His kingdom can advance as well. And so over the next few weeks, you're going to hear me kind of insert a little bit of scriptures before my sermon. One day it may just be a sermon. During Bible study, I'm probably going to start talking about areas of giving as well. The body of Christ at times are all over the place when it comes to giving. But what does the Bible say? Amen. And so if giving is an area where you're kind of like, I don't know about all that, can I encourage you start looking up scriptures that deals with giving? I mean, we're in a time in our society now where you can go on, I don't trust these things 100%, but you can go on like something like ChatGPT and say, give me all the scriptures that deals with giving in the Bible. And do you realize, you ain't got to do that, just Google it, and it'll give you all these different scriptures, right? And so if you're hesitant about giving, whatever it is that you decide to give, right, just begin to start digging into it. Can I say this? If you are hesitant regarding any area of your life, don't ignore it. Dig into it and see what the Bible says about it. Not just giving, I'm talking about now, right? Any area of your life. If there is something that you have a question about, if you're struggling, please do not ignore it. Don't. Dig into the Word of God, into prayer, and find out what God says concerning that area. You know what that does? It exposes that area. And giving is just one of those areas. Amen. So how many of you guys, don't raise your hand, but when somebody starts talking about giving, you'd be like, I've been there 1,000 times, right? And I've given for many different reasons, but for here at Purpose Church, we want to lay a really good foundation in regards to giving. So here is one of my favorite scriptures concerning giving. And so if you want to take a picture of the scripture, write it down, whatever it is. But I encourage you, read 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and dig into what Paul is talking about. This is one of my favorite scriptures. But look at this in verse 7, English Standard Version. Each person must give as he or she has decided in their own heart. Amen. Not reluctantly, just like, with hesitation, or under compulsion. Look at this. For God loves a cheerful giver. One translation in Amplified says, a giver whose heart is in the giving. So if I give and I am not giving based upon what I've made up in my own heart, but if, you know, somebody gets up here and say, I'm chuckling because I've experienced this a lot. And if you've been in these types of services, I need 100 people to give $100. Listen to me. That goes so much against the scripture. Each one must give as they have decided in their own heart. But when do we decide? As I'm spending time with the Lord, I am asking God, what should I be giving? So if I get to church and I've not already decided, because maybe I forgot. I forgot that, you know, I should give a little something, right? And I get here and now I feel pressure to give. I didn't decide that wholeheartedly. Maybe it was under compulsion, or I'm giving reluctantly. Like, I really don't want to let this go, but, you know. And so this is our foundational scripture, y'all, for giving. And I'm asking you to dig into this. There's a lot in the Bible and the Old Testament about giving. There's a reason why I'm starting here. On the other side of Jesus coming, giving his life and raising from the dead. And people will say, yep, Jesus, he talks about giving as well. He sure enough does. But it's always give what you have decided to make up. You've decided in your heart to give. Do not give reluctantly. Listen, it's almost this way. Like God is saying, if you really don't want to give it, don't give it. Amen. It's like if I've decided in my mind that I got some bills I need to pay. And if I don't pay this electric bill, the lights are going to get turned off. And so I'm deciding that I'm not going to give. We've decided in our heart that. Now, in some circles, they'd be like, are you crazy? You always get to God. And then you're sitting at home in the dark and nobody who told you to give is checking up on you. Can we be real and honest? Some people are giving their whole paychecks. Some people are giving what they don't have. That's not what the scripture is saying. So as I'm sitting down and I'm doing my budget, and this deals with good stewardship and all of that as well, I'm praying and I'm asking God, Lord, what should I give? Amen. Now, the title of the message that we're going to talk about today is, what is God saying? And it's not dealing with giving. Well, dealing with giving of our lives, but it's not dealing with money. Let's just say that you sit down and you're budgeting and you say, well, Lord, you know, I got to put this money aside for this and all that. Lord, what should I give? And let's just say that you don't hear nothing or you don't get anything. Then you decide in your own heart in that moment how much you're going to give. But whatever you do, do not give reluctantly, and do not, please, do not give under compulsion, which means that you feel like you're forced to give it. The Bible says, so when I give, God loves a cheerful giver. So if I'm giving whatever I'm getting, I don't want to start giving monetary amounts. When I give whatever it is I'm giving, so we don't do this here at Purpose Church, but the church I grew up in, you walked around and you gave to the offering plate. Cheerful heart, man, I can be dropping some coins in there. But you know what? And there used to be moments that I was ashamed to drop coins. So I would like put my hand in there so the coins can drop real softly. Because I was concerned that people would hear the fact that all I had to give was a few coins and I didn't have bills to give. But was I cheerful in my giving? Listen, our giving is between us. Come on, y'all finish the rest. And God. It's part of our relationship. And so if you ever, somebody ever asks you, from what stance does Purpose Church come from when it comes to giving? This scripture is one of our main foundation. You'll hear me sharing this one here. Each one must give as they have decided in their own heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. So whatever it is that I've decided that I'm going to give, it should be, Father, I am so grateful that I have the opportunity to give whatever I've decided in my heart I'm going to give. God, I thank you that I have at least something to give. I remember growing up, and even Tremaine and I, with our kids, and we start digging, and we'd be like, even if they got a quarter, you're going to give a little something, because God has just been that good to us. So it's not about putting a certain dollar amount. Please do not feel pressured that, because what happens is that sometimes we feel as if we can't reach that dollar amount. And you know what we do? I ain't going to give at all. Give what you've decided in your heart to give. Amen. Like, please take. So what I'm hoping is that if you're feeling, for some people, this is new. Like, you kind of like, I ain't never heard nobody talk like this about giving before. Well, praise God for that. Now you're going to hear it periodically. Some of you, you have this weight upon your shoulders concerning giving. And I'm praying that that weight will be lifted. God has been good. We're like, amen. And because of his goodness, I want to give, because I want someone else to experience God's goodness. And your seeds, your offering, however, whatever it is that you want to call it, whatever you give allows Purpose Church to reach people, to include yourselves. That's it. Amen. If there is ever a time that Purpose Church, where we say we're ready to transition somewhere else, we'll let you know. But what we don't want to do is come up here and say, all right, y'all, we got 50 families in here. And if each family can give, see, then don't call that giving. Just call that something else. But this scripture, and I'm encouraging you guys to read this, because as Paul continues on, he says, paraphrasing, your giving is causing a thanksgiving to go up to God. Why? Because when the church of Corinth was given, it was impacting the lives of many people. Their gifts was allowing the gospel of Jesus Christ to spread, and people who were in need, people that needed things, the giving of the church was able to go bless them as well. And if you go back to the Old Testament, even the area, and some people shudder when you hear this word, the tithe, tithing, when people tithe, right, 10%, even that was for a specific purpose. It was not. Please hear me when I say this, and then I got to get into today's message. It was not meant for the church to get rich. It was almost like a benevolent fund that was coming in, and it was helping people who were in need, or helping the priests or whatever it was. But it was not meant for that. Amen. There should constantly be like a storehouse coming in, right? And even Malachi talks about that storehouse, but the storehouse is not meant to store things. It's meant to keep going out. It comes in and it goes out. And every time it goes out and it touches the life of someone, if you were part of that coming in, the grain that came in, you're part of the blessing that it is as it goes out. The lives being impacted, you're part of that as you are given towards it. Final thing I'm going to say about this. Please do not replace your giving with your service to God. So please don't say this. And I don't think there's a lot of people in here that's saying this. Don't say, I'm going to give to Purpose Church so that they can do ministry. Nope. I bring myself to do ministry. Oh, yeah. And by the way, I also give. I lead with me, and then I give. Amen? So don't, please, y'all, please, don't lead with this. This is a part of me, so we go together. But even if I don't have this, He still got me. Don't put this. Amen. This is going to be so good. And I pray that minds are going to be renewed. You know, chains will be broken. Now, listen to what I'm saying. I ain't talking about as you give, chains going to be broken. No, what I'm saying is if you have a mindset for whatever it is and this lack of biblical truth, I'm praying that the chains or the renewal of the mind happens concerning giving. Because the last line is what God is looking for. God loves a cheerful giver. And one scripture says that he won't do without a cheerful giver. So that means that God will always make sure that you have what you need so that when you give, you can give cheerfully. Please, God does not want anyone dragging in here like, I hope when I go home, my lights are still on, but I'm going to go ahead and give to the church. You better put that money back in your pocket and pay your bills. You know why? Because now if your lights is not on, now you're going to say you need another job. And now you're not in the church. Now you're not coming to Bible study. Now you're not coming to small groups because you're trying to work to pay bills and give all of this abundance of money to the church. Listen, I'll say this as I would rather have you here than you stressing out. Oh, my gosh, I don't know if I got enough money to give and all that. So I'm going to just stop coming. No, come on. God's going to take care of the rest. And for some, there's this area of stewardship of properly taking care of our money. God is, if we give it, Father, thank you so much for the ability to work or whatever it is, however the income is coming in and all that. Praise God for it. Lord, what you want me to give? Oh, you just want me to give $5? Praise Jesus. I'm just going to give $5. Amen. I don't know what the Lord telling me to give. But what can I afford to give? Because I'm budgeting. Amen. This is going to be so good, y'all. And this is not a sermon series dealing with this. Like, we're just talking about it. But listen. So the goal is cheerful giver. That's it. Cheerful giver. We never saw Jesus sad. Well, I guess we got to give, y'all. I'll go on down by the water and there's going to be a fish or something, you know, open up the mouth. There's going to be a coin so we can pay our taxes and all that. You never saw that. So where's that coming from? Where's that heaviness that comes from when it comes to giving? If not careful, some of it will be what religion. We got to stop that, y'all. So if you feel that way, so if you feel reluctant or under compulsion, go back to God. Lord, show me what I should be given so I can decide in my own heart. And Lord, if I'm not cheerful, help me to identify why I'm not cheerful in giving. What is that, God? It may be a renewing of the mind, right? Whatever it is. I don't believe that I should be given to the church because last church I gave to, they did, you know, all that kind of stuff. Whatever it is. Ask God to help us in that area. Amen. Praise God. So I do want to do a prayer over whatever it is that you give. And here is the beauty. I think I'm cracking myself up more about this. Here's the beauty. Years ago, we didn't have things like online giving. So it's like, dang, I left my wallet at home. Guess I ain't giving this week. We don't have Kmart's any longer. I'm going down to Kmart or something like that and everything. Guess what? You can give online now. All right. Now, if a thought comes to your mind, see, now the church got ways for you to give without even being in church and stuff. Stop. 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 Amen. So there's going to be a lot of things that's going to come in your mind as your prayer. Read the Bible. If the thought aligns with the word, go with it. If it sounds as if your thoughts are going up against the word, God, please help me in that area. And here's the final thing that I would say. And if you have questions, we can sit down and talk about this, right? And walk through the scriptures concerning it. But please, if you have whatever angst or whatever it is concerning giving, and this is even with any area of your life, spend time and dig into it. Expose it. Expose it. Amen. Praise God. Let me pray over whatever we may be given this week, whatever we've decided in our heart to give this week, whether it's today or until the next time that we meet. Father, thank you so much for your word being so clear about giving. Thank you, God, that it is you that is looking for a cheerful, a prompt of somebody that is ready, that is happy to be able to give to your kingdom. And so, Father, we pray that even as we go throughout this week, that you will show us what should we be given. If we have barriers in our mind concerning not believing in giving, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you personally will show us the way. Show us the way to give. Personally, show us the way to give. And Father, I thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that your word even says that as we give, it will be given back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into our bosom. And so, Father, we just thank you for what it is that you are pouring into the life of your people right now for the furtherance of your kingdom through their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I wasn't sure how deep I was going to go with that. I kind of had two different sermons ready. And just in case, I was like, all right, here we go. So I think sometimes when I'm up here ready to preach the word, I can't see your thoughts. I'm not even going to pretend that I'm like, I can see. No, you know, but there is this connection where either hearts are open or someone is like on the inside leaning in. And I sense in my heart, go deeper. Yeah. And so the reason why I'm saying that is for me, it was, I'm just going, because that's the only slide that I have dealing with this giving. So I was going to share that and say, y'all pray about it and keep going. But I felt the need to go a little bit deeper. So what I believe within me is that some persons, a group of people in this congregation is leaning like, huh? And the Holy Spirit is like, God, let's talk about it a little bit more. Amen. That's good. That's really good. That is amazing. All right. So this is the sermon series. I am excited about this sermon series. What is God saying? And I didn't want to keep adding words, but really what I'm talking about is what is God saying to us personally, individually? What is God saying in this season, in this time of our lives? What is God saying to us? You know, like what is he saying? And are we hearing it? Are we sensing it? Do we understand it? Are we digging into it more? Are we positioning ourselves to keep hearing from God? Are we positioning ourselves to even hear from God? But the question is, if we can just kind of think about this, what is God saying to us? Individually, I'm talking, personally. So I could say, what is God saying to you? But I'm including myself. What is God saying? What is he saying? What is he saying? You know? I mean, you know the scripture he says, I stand at the door and knock, right? Is God knocking? I know we use that scripture a lot for, you know, giving our life to Jesus Christ and everything. But do you realize that we can be believers of Jesus Christ? If y'all can see this imagery, have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, but be sleeping in another room. Right? It's like two married people and we ain't talking. Well, hold on. He omnipresent. But guess what? He ain't going to kick himself through no door that we don't want him in. I'm talking about God by his spirit. So it is possible that God could still be standing at the door of one of the chambers of our heart and knocking and saying, I got something that I want to say to you. Can we spend a little bit of time and talk? I got to get rid of some of these R&B songs in my head. When I was younger, I listened to some songs, and at times I'll be getting ready to say something and a song will come back. to my mind. I'm going to just try to keep going. I might as well say it. There's this song by this dude, I can't remember his name, and it was Can We Talk? Yeah. See, y'all, this whole side, some of y'all over on this side, right? But sometimes God is saying that to us like, wow, can we talk? Can we spend some time together? I got something that I want to share with you, and I know it's something that you want to share with me also. Why are we not talking? You believe in me. You surrendered your life. You gave your life. All that kind of stuff. Like, why are we not talking? So it's possible that God can be standing at the door of, I call it some of the chambers or the rooms of our heart. Like, it's like, God, when I'm in the kitchen, we talking all day long, washing dishes and all that kind of stuff. When I'm in the living room, I got the gospel music or whatever contemporary music that's playing. When I'm in the garage and I'm working on stuff, like, we got this open relationship. But there's this one room, God, where, I need some quiet time, God. I need time to be able to do something where I don't feel convicted. And that's the room I step into. And then I come back out of that room and I say, God, I'm so sorry. But what if you just open up the doors of whatever that room was and let God in that space as well? God, this room is the room where I struggle with things. Can you come on in, God, and show me how to deal with this, God? Do any of us have rooms like that in our heart, which transfers into our physical space? We have sanctuaries, sanctioned places where even we don't want God to go. And God today is asking us this question. Do you hear me talking to you? There's another one, the commercial that says, can you hear me now? Amen. Are y'all with me? So what is God saying? And then we'll be looking at the life and the teachings of Jesus as how did Jesus hear from God? So that's where we'll be going. So we'll be on this sermon series for a little bit. All right. So let's look at a few scriptures and we'll see how far we can get. So this is what I was talking to the young people about. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 42 in the Amplified Classic Edition says this. Now his parents, Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem every year to the Passover feast. And when Jesus was about 12 years old, or when he was 12 years old, they went up as was their custom. And when the feast was ended, and as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem. Now his parents did not know this. But supposing him, Jesus, to be in the caravan, they travel on a day's journey. And then they sought him diligently, looking up and down for him among their kinsfolk. Did y'all know the Bible use word like kinfolks? And acquaintances. Verse 45. And when they failed to find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him up and down all the way. After 3 days, they found him, came upon him in the court of the temple, sitting among teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Praise God. What is God saying? So we cannot know what God is saying unless we posture ourselves to hear from God. And so today is an example of this. So all of us are gathered here in church, right? Temple, church. We're here gathered in the temple, in the church, and we're in the court. And so that means that we're not in the lobby area where we can get some hot chocolate and all of that. We're not talking to Lorraine at the Connect Center. You know, we're not just hanging out talking to Taylor at the front door, but we're literally in the court And in this court, there are people that are gathered, and there are teachers, and there's Pharisees, and there's scribes, and there's teachers of the law. These are very educated people. And when we want to come to the temple to learn about the law of Moses and the prophets, it is the temple that we would come to. Jesus is 12 years old, and he has an interest to learn and listen. But not only that, but to ask questions as well. Do we posture ourselves to hear what God is saying? Do we on purpose put ourselves in positions where we can hear what God is saying? Let me dig into this a little bit more. Jesus, being 12 years old, knowing who he is, that he is the Son of God, naturally that he is the son of Joseph and Mary, but knowing that he is the Son of God, still got himself to sit down, because the scripture says sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Are we putting ourselves in a place where we can hear what God is saying? Amen. So some of us may say, Pastor Will, I can't hear God. Like I can't sense his direction. I can't audibly, I don't hear his voice. I don't get that unction. I don't get that conviction. I don't get that leading. And I'll say to you, I understand. I get it. But I will say to you, there is one place where you can go to read what God is saying. And that's in the Bible. So if I am not even reading God's words, I sure enough ain't gonna hear God saying a thing unless he is trying to get me to a place where I can hear what he's saying. I remember when I first gave my life to Christ, about 20 years old, I had a routine prior to my life in Christ where every Friday we would go out to the club. Every Friday we would go out. And I gave my life to Christ, and I thought, well, I ain't gonna go to the club, but I can still stand on the street. Somebody said amen. So our routine was this. Y'all just fill in the blanks. We would go here and we would do a little something, make us feel like, woo. And then we would go stand on the street and we would just profile. And back then we didn't have cell phones, so we had paper. So at the end of the day, you can say, I got this many numbers and all that stuff. I know none of y'all did this stuff, right? And then after that, we would go somewhere so that we can go, woo, a little bit more. Some of y'all may understand what I'm saying. And then we would go to the club, because nobody went to the club when it first opened. I love how I get quiet, like folks are like, dang, so if I say something too loud, then people in here are going to know that I used the club, right? But I gave my life to Christ. And then we'd go to the club and we would dance and have fun and all that kind of stuff. And then we'll prepare for the next week. But I gave my life to Christ. And so I thought that I could do the same routine. And so we went. But this time I didn't do the thing to make me feel like, woo, type of thing. We just went and we profiled and stood on the street. And then this people came up to me as I was standing on the street, and they were handing out tracts. You don't see people doing that too more, like Jesus loves you, all that kind of stuff, handing out these biblical tracts and stuff, evangelizing. And this one person came up to me and looked at me and said, you know you shouldn't be out here. Like all these people standing on South Street up in Philadelphia. All these people, you won't come right to me? So what I did not say was, yes, brother, I know that I shouldn't be standing out here. I was like, really, man? And so I do believe that at times God will grab our attention because we're not where we're supposed to be. And this message today may be one of those messages to you. Just like, are we reading our Bible? Like, are we coming to Bible study? Are we coming to, I'm going to just name the things we do here at Purpose Church, Foundations of Faith. Are we coming to men's group? Are we coming to women's group for our teenagers in here? Are we coming to teen group? Like, are we doing the things to put ourselves in a place where I can start hearing and sensing what God is saying? Am I treating this relationship with God as serious as I would other areas? But we should be treating this relationship with God as if it tops everything. Now, we have interruptions. We have jobs. I shouldn't call them interruptions. We have other things going on, jobs and family and stuff that happens. But every opportunity that I have, I should be trying to connect with God so that I can hear what God is saying. We cannot put our dependence of what God is saying to us individually upon somebody else preaching. We cannot. It is our responsibility to seek God so that when the preacher or whoever it is, your buddy, your Bible study, but whoever it is that encourages you, when they say something, it's just confirmation of what it is that God is already saying. Or it's just icing on the cake. But if it ain't no cake, we haven't even started working on the ingredients of a good relationship with God because I'm waiting for someone else to serve that to me. We behind, y'all. God said this. He shared something with me some time ago that God, he's trying to get us caught up as a body of Christ. That some of us are behind and he's accelerating certain things. You want to know why you feel as if lately you've gone from here to here? God is catching you up. But the reason he is able to do that is because you're putting yourself in a place where he can move you. You're reading, you're praying, you're studying. So if you're here and you're not doing those things, you are missing out on where God is trying to get you pertaining to your relationship with him. Amen. Well, I'm just not as deep as other people. Are you even trying to be deep? Like, try. Don't just. Well, you know, there's just certain things about me that I don't want to lose. So we have to be willing to surrender all. Man, hear this. We have to be willing to surrender all. And it deals more with internally. Surrender all. And then say, God, now remake me. And if God says, you know, like, yup, we're going to keep that because I need you to keep being bold. And people think it's arrogance, but it's not. I just need for you to keep being bold. Then he says, but that nasty attitude, you got to get rid of that. And then we just think that God just going to wipe our hard drive clean of everything. There are certain things about you that God needs in you for the furtherance of his kingdom. But if we go into it like, well, I don't want to lose me. You ain't going to grow. You are not going to grow in Christ if you are so concerned about holding on to parts of you that you love so much. Amen? Man, we got to be like, Lord, it has to be that. And you may not cry and all of that. I'm being dramatic with it, or you may. But what I'm saying is that you just start saying, God, there's just certain things that I love about me. And I don't know if when I go through this transformation process, am I going to be the same person? And I don't even know. Do we even want to be the same person? Do you really want to be the same exact person that you were before you gave your life to Jesus Christ? scripture lets us know that if any person be in Christ, they are a new creature spiritually. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. But it takes a while for this flesh to get caught up. And what God is saying is that we are in a time in life where the process of getting us caught up to who we are spiritually is moving faster if we're willing to hook up with God and do it. But if we keep holding on to the old flesh, and it's a fight sometimes, but some of us are just willfully holding on to the flesh. And God is saying, you gotta let it go. It's not them, it's you. Have you ever felt like I have to keep this type of disposition just in case somebody try me? That's probably nobody here. Oh, God. Just in case. It's almost like, because I'm not trying to get in the fight and forget how to fight. But what if God is saying that stance, and some of us got that stance just naturally, like, and God is saying, like, I got you. I know you have had the fight. And I'm not telling, it's a sense God said, I'm not asking you to be a wimp. Jesus was no wimp. Listen to me. Ain't no way that he could go through what he went through and be a wimp. I mean, he got brutally beat. He stood up in front of someone and you know, he says, well, don't you realize that I have the right to take your life? And Jesus says, you don't paraphrase this. You only been given the power that has been given to you. I mean, bold. To hang on a cross and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Knowing that he had the ability to just say, you know what, I haven't had enough of this. There's this thing that's called staying power. It's where I have the ability to do something, but I don't. And I don't even pretend that I will. For some of us to say, well, at least I ain't do nothing, but you were acting like you was about to. So God, if that's you, and God is working in that area and talking to you, he's asking, God, bring that to me. I'm not trying to make you, the only word I can think of is a wimp. I'm not trying to water you down, is what God is saying. But there, you're missing out on some stuff because you hold on. You're so ready to, like, jump ship. Some of y'all are here and you're so ready to throw in the towel regarding this thing called walking with God. You're so ready. Well, every time this happens, well, every time I get serious, this happens. And you're ready to jump out the ship and say, I'm done. And God is saying, stay. Stick with me. Hang with me. Don't stop. Like, come on. So what needs to happen for us? When I say us, because I'm including myself, individually, what needs to happen for each one of us individually to consistently get ourselves in a place where we can hear God? That's the message. God needs us to hear him. And again, you may say, I cannot hear God the way that you're talking to me right now. That's all right. Do you sense him? Do you sense when he is leading you to do something? And then do we do it? I'm gonna mess with one of our dear sisters and we'll get ready to close out. One of our sisters will say, I was gonna call you. How many times do we sense God and we're like, I was going to reach out to you, God, and then I got busy? Or I said, I'll wait till Sunday. Because I know Pastor Will going to say something that going to make it make sense. But if you can just go there, go here with me. Imagine spending time with God. And it starts making sense as you spend time with God on your own. And then we come here and then it make more sense when we, man, y'all be ready to like kick over chairs. You'll be like, that's what I heard. Like I heard that when I was studying. He's saying what I heard. And not fresh things, like repetitive. And you know what happens when something is repetitive? It goes deeper and deeper and deeper and it takes root. And then when it takes root, it begins to produce fruit. Amen. So I am, this whole message series is like, hear from God, y'all. I want people like calling people like, did you hear what God said? And you're like, well, you say first, like you say what you heard God say first. And then it's like, man, I heard God say that. And it's like, and you're trying to, Tremaine and I had this experience. It was like, oh my gosh. I was reading the Bible. How come we don't get excited about reading the Bible and the revelation that's coming out of the Bible? That's where God's trying to get us, y'all. I'm telling you that you're hearing him. You're sensing him. You are so pumped up about your relationship with God, that stuff gonna happen. Life is gonna happen. And it's however it comes, but you are so anchored, you're gonna come back. But if you're not anchored, you're floating. And the word anchors you. Amen? But this is where, in the temple, they came to listen and ask questions. Now, in our time, we try to set the atmosphere. We ask the praise team to sing to help our hearts get into the presence of God. But when Jesus came in the temple, the praise team, it don't say nothing about that the praise team had to come set the atmosphere and then Jesus sat down and listened. Like Jesus came and was ready. And as Chaplain Quintanilla was preaching the other few Sundays ago, it is what we hear from God that sparks a praise to him. God says, you ain't going to have to fight this battle. And we're like, praise God. I'm going to praise you because of what I heard from you. Not, God, I need to praise you so that I can hear you. I'm seeking to hear you. When I hear you, I praise you. And if you look in the Old Testament, that was the order. The word was broken open. God revealed his revelation by the prophet and the people praise. And that's where you hear scriptures like, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise God. So we almost got it backwards. We're thinking, if I don't get a good praise, then I can't hear from God. God is saying, hear from me. And it will ignite a praise within you. And that's where your praise becomes your personal expression, because it's what you heard God say. That's the reason why Mary was able to praise God when she realized that she was going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. If you read that, she began to praise God. Moses had a praise, and we call it Mary's song. And Moses' sister, I'm trying to remember her name, but the prophet, she had a song unto God. Why? Because they heard God say something. And so we may not be able to praise God the way that we want because we're not hearing God. So what is God saying?
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in His love, and live out His purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.